Imagine a service that brings accessible websites together in one place, but also makes efforts to make other websites accessible through their gateway technology. Well, imagine no longer, because that's a service called Just Vanilla, and it's out there right now. To talk with us about what Just Vanilla offers, we speak to its founder, Mike Hoff. Mike, welcome to the program. Can we talk a little bit about Just Vanilla and how you came up with the idea of putting it together?
Well, Just Vanilla project really began here in rural Norfolk, and I suppose living in rural areas, we have to contend our biggest accessibility problem is the quality of the phone line. We have some very poor rural lines, and even with a decent computer, it's very difficult to get good speeds. And researching how we might overcome that for our own purposes as teleworkers, it became increasingly obvious that there was a considerable overlap with the problems faced by people with disability. And that's where it sprang from.
It's a real big issue, isn't it? People in all sorts of rural communities around the world who find it hard even to maintain a 9600 connection on some of those phone lines.
Oh, it is indeed. I mean, and there's all sorts of talk about extending broadband and so on and so forth, but despite all that talk, there's been precious little results, certainly here in the UK. We hope it will be changed, but we can't afford to wait forever.
So how does Just Vanilla deal with these problems?
Well, obviously the first thing that people are keen to remove from a web page are banner adverts and images and so on, particularly if you aren't able to see. There's not a great deal of point in having the weight attached to them downloading. And so it can remove components from people's web pages like graphics. It can remove things like frames, JavaScript and the like, according to the user's preferences. And so in effect it reconstructs other people's websites on the fly.
And is the take up been to your expectations in terms of people using the service?
Well, we've had what they call a soft launch here, and we're on a very steep learning curve, because as I say, it's not specifically visually impaired people. We're talking about people with learning difficulties and so on, where there's a whole range of other problems to deal with. And so we've been keen to get a modest user base, which will give us the feedback we need to go forward from there. And it's a constantly evolving project.
So people dial into their existing ISPs, do they, and then simply connect to your website?
Yeah. I mean, we've tried to look at this in terms of social inclusion, which is a better perspective, I believe, than a specific difficulty or disability. At the end of the day, when you get into technical areas, you have to drop down into the disability to deal with that particular problem. But overall, our objective is to make it accessible to anyone from anywhere at any time. And so we avoid the sort of things which might detract from that mobility. For example, you can do some of these things with a proxy server, but if you go into a public library, certainly here in Norfolk, you will find that you can't set a proxy server because the network administrators won't allow you in. In fact, you can't even change the page preferences of color and font and so on, because they perceive a security risk there. So we've not gone down the route of a proxy server. And at the same time, we try to avoid downloads of any software or even plugins, because again, that gives you a problem if you're on a public terminal. But the way that we operate is that the user has their own specific URL, which they go to, and their preferences are set there and stored there.
So the idea then is that people can go to any website, is that right? And you're processing that website to make it more friendly to people with less bandwidth and with accessibility needs.
Our website is a browser but mounted on the internet. So instead of using Internet Explorer on your computer to make some changes to the preferences and the way you see web pages, you would go to our website and do that. And then any website you visit from our website is then transformed according to your preferences. I have to say, at that point, within the limitations set by that web page designer, and as I'm sure you know, that can very often override anything you do to get improved accessibility.
So what do you do to the web page to make it more friendly? You've mentioned pop-up ads, etc., but do you restructure the way the page looks?
Yes, I mean, one of the things obviously that might be helpful to people with a visual impairment, it would be to strip out the tables and produce a content which is in a single column rather than two or three columns, which are quite common on many websites. By doing that, you've got an easier presentation of information to perhaps some of the older screen readers that are still used by many people. I know modern, the latest versions of many of the screen readers and other accessibility software can deal with things like this, but many people actually can't afford the new versions and are still running on older versions. And so you can, in effect, turn it into a text version, not unlike the old links, or, well, indeed, the existing links browser.
Right. And I noticed that you have a number of different kind of looks and feels for people with, say, low vision or no vision, so people can kind of customize the way it looks and operates to suit their particular requirements.
Yes, you can change the background color. So if you want to visit, let's say, Yahoo, you might want to use a back page background of your Yahoo rather than the white one which their designers give you. So you can make that setting. You can make settings to the font color. We've got about, I think it's about 40 different colors which have been deliberately chosen to give what would be a workable contrast to people with serious color vision impairment. They would be able to use those to set the background color, text color, the three stages of hyperlink color, because of course the traditional blue which is there when you first visit a link changes when you visit it and so on. So there are three settings for link colors. And so it goes on. Another thing which may well be useful to people with vision problems is to have a narrow page option to compress the content into the middle of the screen, which reduces the need to scan full screen. So features of that sort, but they begin then to merge into ones which might be a benefit to people with dyslexia, where, the paragraph can often present itself as a solid brick, and there's no way that you can extract information from it. So we allow users, by using a cascading star sheet template, to modify the appearance of that paragraph by putting extra white space between the words, between the lines, between letters within the words even, to explode the paragraph, and in that way they're able to get better word discrimination.
I suppose that an accessibility purist might argue that you're very generously letting other web designers off the hook by doing their work for them and rejigging their sites in a way that makes them more friendly.
I thought you might mention that, and it's a fair comment, I accept that. But, you know, when we first looked into this, I obviously looking through the various standards that are set with the WAI guidelines and so on, looking at Bobby and the numbers of sites which are actually Bobby approved or Bobby accredited, so to speak, and it's a tiny fraction of the total population on the web. I think the last time I looked it was something like 15,000 to 1. Now, that's a huge ratio to overcome, and we would totally agree with the objective that sites should become accessible in their own right. But we live in the real world. In fact, many, many are not. And frankly, I think it's highly unlikely that it will ever go in that direction with the speed of technology. Even since we've been working on this, technologies have come in and which were not even considered there at the beginning. And so we don't see it being any way of letting the site off, because they've got a legal obligation on them anyway, assuming someone doesn't use our service. But we do see it as being an ability to try and extract content from sites which have not complied.
How long has it taken you to develop this?
Well, we've been working very slowly to build up the wide coverage, as I say, looking at learning difficulties, which is not your particular area. But,
right.
For example, there are people who can't even read the words, even if we do explode the content, as I explained, for dyslexics. They can only deal with symbols. And so looking at all these problems and trying to develop what you might call a total communication platform, which was seamless, it's quite a big problem, and we've been working our way through these issues for the last 2 years now.
And are you looking at also providing a kind of a portal function where you'll put a range of appropriate accessible information on people's pages that they can customize?
A sort of accessibility directory, you mean?
Mm.
Yes, I mean, what we do, being that we want individuals to be able to be mobile with our service, because a lot of disabled people have an additional problem that most people don't realise is there. That is, they aren't able to use public facilities. They aren't able to travel and drop in and be spontaneous into, say, an internet cafe to view the web. And so portability is a feature we've tried to focus on. If you want to be portable and do that, then of course you need to take your bookmarks with you, because otherwise you're leaving them behind on your home computer. So we allow users to put their own bookmarks on the site, on their personal site, and then they're there ready waiting for them if they log on from Timbuktu. But in terms of a directory and saying these sites are approved, we have not done that. Partly because we leave people to use the internet in its full free form, and partly because other parties are doing that, and there's not a great deal of point in duplicating that, because they can go to that third-party site from our site. So we would, in fact, be duplicating the work of others.
One of the frustrating things for many blind cell phone users is that they are not able to access some of the websites that are out there, but you've got a gateway for those.
Well, this came again not from looking at it from the blind perspective, although I agree with what you're saying, but people who have difficulty dealing with text in its volume, they may find, as I say, a paragraph difficult to read, but even if they can then get access to it, it's got 10 or 20 sentences, when really one or two is the most they can handle at a time. And thinking about how this could be simplified, it begins to get an extremely complex issue, analysing the meaning and rephrasing it, when of course actually there's a huge amount of content already there in that form on websites. It's just no one's using them, or very few. And so we have built into the project a WAP emulator, which means that you can visit many WAP sites and have them full screen in the colour preferences you like. And a WAP site essentially is text and hyperlink. It's a very, very simple access to information.
So what's the pricing structure for making use of Just Vanilla?
Well, being so tending to be socially inclusive, of course we would love to have this free of charge, but that's not really the reality of the internet world, and there is no real satisfactory business model on the internet either. We could put in adverts, but then if we allow users to filter them out, it's not going to be terribly easy to sell them.
Right.
So we see that the model we have gone with at the moment is to charge a subscription, but it is a very modest subscription of $35 per year, which is really very low indeed, and there's a setup fee of $30 to start off with, but that's only in the first year.
Do you feel confident that's sustainable? People might get quite hooked on the site and would be quite sad if it disappeared due to unsustainability of that model.
Well, we would certainly be very sad too.
Yeah, sure you would.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. If people get hooked on it, could you just expand on that?
Well, it must cost quite a bit to run the service, I imagine, and I'm just wondering whether you'll be able to gain sufficient revenue from $35 a year subscriptions.
Well, obviously, we're faced again with two problems here. There are people who actually need training to use it, and there are people who don't, because a great many disabled people are actually very, very competent on computers. And it seemed somewhat wrong to build in training costs, people who didn't need it. So we stripped any training cost out. But we can then offer that on an individual basis should people wish it. So that is an alternative option. And also we are talking to a great many agencies at the moment, including government agencies, about how we might extend the service in the future. So there's a lot of things happening in that direction.
And if people would like to explore the site, it's justvanilla.com.
Correct, that's right. That will give you an indication of the sort of features that are offered for the various disabilities. And there is a demonstration on the site, which obviously is free. It gives you some idea of the personalization that's possible, but it's obviously not the full feature set.
Right. Can you subscribe online, sign up with a credit card, that sort of thing?
Can indeed, yeah. All by post. Obviously, some people find the credit cards not to their liking online, or indeed very difficult to handle. So we also deal with postal applications.
And you've quoted the price in dollars, but obviously you're based in the UK. So what's that in pounds?
In pounds, it's rough, well, depending on the stock market at the moment is very hectic, so it's very approximate, but it's about £25 a year, UK pounds, and it's a £20 setup fee. £25 annually thereafter.
Well, there's a lot of very groovy programming that's gone into the site, and congratulations on the initiative, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch and finding out how it's going.
Okay, thanks very much indeed for your interest.